should cost is not exactly a new idea in government procurement. It's been baked into the Federal Acquisition Regulation for decades, but it wasn't until 2010 that the Pentagon ordered the military services to use it in all of their major acquisitions. In a nutshell, it requires program managers to set aside the independent cost estimates that are developed for all big programs and that DoD is required to use to fund programs, and instead manage their programs according to what they ought to cost.
Then the industry and the program office go and attack those costs and try to beat them.
Dr. Bill LaPlante is the Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Acquisition.
And when they're validated and achieved, the money that was in the budget is available then to be taken back, and we have a set of governance rules, and they can be put back into the portfolio and or turned back to the Air Force corporate line.
Speaking to an Air Force Association conference in Orlando, Florida, LaPlante offered three major categories of weapon systems in which managers have wrung out savings by using should-cost management. The services program executive officer for weapons, for example, cut $567 million in projected spending for contracts scheduled to deliver between 2013 and 2020. $350 million of that went back into the Air Force's broader acquisition budget, but the Air Force allowed that PEO to use the rest to buy larger quantities of systems it already had on contract, including thousands of missiles, bombs, and targets that had not previously fit into the budget.
They did a series of best practices across various programs, increasing competition, data-driven negotiations. What data-driven negotiations means is using actuals, doing larger buys. This is just an example of what we're talking. This is real money that was returned back both to the Air Force and to the warfighter in terms of capabilities.
In space systems, the Air Force thinks it might reduce its previously budgeted costs by up to $6 billion.
A lot of this was because the cost estimates, the independent cost estimates, were done based upon history when things were quite expensive in space. So in some ways, you could argue we had a low bar to get under to beat these cost estimates. But remember, we have to fund those cost estimates. So this is real money. And you can see the type of things that they did. Increased competition, efficiency, and then streamlining deliverables. That's also the SBIRS example. And look what we did. They were able to return $6 billion to the Air Force. And we've got a potential of $800 million more that we may achieve here.
Likewise, the Air Force PEO for battle management has already banked $467 million in cost reductions and is tracking a potential $480 million more for its programs in fiscal 2015 through 2020. In that case, the PEO kept most of the savings and put $427 million toward weather and mission planning systems, the airborne warning and control system, and long-range ground radar.
So it's this hard work that's going on that's kind of not being noticed that is buying back weapons and mitigating the really tough budget situation we're in. My estimate is we've saved about $2 billion in real money over about this 5 to 6 year period that we pumped back into the Air Force. Now, you have to think about this for a second and say, probably as we continue these best practices, we're probably not going to continue to get these savings, right? Because the next time the independent cost estimates will be done, they're going to use these best practices, right? And we're driving these best practices into the culture so that this is the expectation. But for now, because the independent cost estimates are using a time frame before we were doing all this, we're reaping a lot of value out of this. So I wanted to show that to people just so they understand the success that's going on. And this is just one aspect of better buying power.
As one of its cost-cutting tools, the Battle Management PEO became an early adopter of a new idea the Air Force announced last month called Cost Capability Analysis. Fundamentally, officials say CCA aims to give industry much more information about which capabilities end users value most and do it much sooner in the acquisition process.
Oftentimes in industry, you tell us, rightfully so, set the requirements, give us a couple of years, let us understand what you're going to value in the source selection. Well, it's not enough to do an AOA. It's not enough just to say, here's the threshold requirement, here's the objective requirement. We have to know more, right? We have to know which of those means more to the warfighter, which is more valuable. Well, cost capability analysis is a way to determine that. We have started to pilot these, and more than pilot these in the Air Force for the last couple of years. But what we're now going to do is we're now going to be transparent with these and work with industry on them. And we're going to pilot cost capability analysis on four projects, starting with TX. And this is going to be collaborative with industry.
To achieve that, LaPlante says the Air Force will match up the costs of each individual capability within a set of requirements and ask users whether the mission benefit is worth the price. Their answers will determine how the Air Force approaches its source selection decisions.
And the warfighter has basically said, you know what, that knee in the curve, I'm not going to pay more than this capability. I don't get that much more. So these are unaffordable. Then the warfighter says, you know, I know that's a lot cheaper, but it's below what I want. So the warfighter is saying, look, this is the space. So now think about this. We can put together a cost capability type RFP. This might be the threshold right there, but it shows what we're willing to pay extra for to get up to another capability. We could roll this in. We could give credit in dollars, for example, of somebody who goes up to this capability or even above if they're operating down here. If we do this with industry on programs like TX, there'll be a much better understanding and a way for us to know what we're paying for and willing to pay for.
The Air Force is ready to try the idea out on a large procurement for the first time. The TX, LaPlante mentioned, the Air Force's planned replacement for its T-38 fighter jet, is just a few weeks away from locking down its final requirements, according to Deborah Lee James, the Air Force Secretary.
Our goal is to share these requirements with industry by the end of the month, at which point we intend these requirements to be final. We will then continue the dialogue with industry, which we've been having an ongoing dialogue, but we want to keep that going right up to the RFP release, which we project will be in late FY16. And we will, as you heard Bill LaPlante say, use the cost capability analysis approach. Because you see, in this way, we intend to make well-informed judgments about whether or not various incremental changes in capability, or increases in capability, I should say, are worth it from the cost perspective and the capability perspective. And industry will know when the time comes how much we value these different capabilities. So please stay tuned. We really are using the TX as a test case, you might say, in the cost capability analysis approach.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.